beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now we're going to see it in the light of verses 2 through 14 primarily. Here we have one of the most glorious texts in the Bible. The first three words point to information that we need to know if we are to understand who we are and why we are here. We must know the beginning. That is why the very first three words in the Bible also are in the beginning. We must know our roots. Evolutionists would have us believe the very unscientific theory that dead matter somehow turned into living matter and formed the very complex universe in which we now dwell. They have blind faith in their theory. But Genesis 1:1 tells us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God was the one who was there in the beginning. God was the creator of mankind. And Genesis 1:27 tells us, and God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Here in the Bible, we find out who we are. We are created in God's image. We are special. Genesis 2:7 tells us God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We are not just a higher form of animal. We have an eternal soul. We also find out why we are created. We are created to glorify this God who created us and to enjoy God in our obedience to him. I remember when I was first saved and I was in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church that was in Whippany many years ago, and Pastor Bush quoted that very famous passage in the Shorter Catechism, what's the chief end of man? And is the chief end of man is to glorify God. And we understand that, it's like, it was the first time I'd heard it, but then he added the rest of it, and to enjoy him forever. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Whoa, enjoy him. And never thought about enjoying God. Now we know, of course, from Genesis 3 that Adam and Eve disobeyed God and plunged mankind into sin, sickness, and spiritual and physical death eventually. Now you may ask, why am I bringing the creation and fall of mankind into John 1:1? Well, that's a good question. My answer is that John wants us to understand this text in relation to the original creation of mankind and his fall. Or he wouldn't have been inspired to begin his gospel with a repeat of the first words of Genesis 1:1. John wants us to see clearly that the Jesus Christ, who accomplished our spiritual recreation by resurrecting our souls, is the same God who originally created us. Remember in Genesis 1:26a, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. The us used there refers to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Later on in this gospel, John will also teach that the Holy Spirit is God. But right now, John wants us to see that Jesus is the Word who was with God and is God. And we can read John 1:1 in the context of John 1:14. Again, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus is the eternal Word who is God. And what does John 1:14 tell us? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. This eternal Word, who is God, became the human being that we know as Jesus Christ. Jesus is also called the Word because he is the ultimate communication from God to man. And of course, when I say that, you're probably thinking of Hebrews in chapter 1, and I'll begin at verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And it goes on, and I would recommend maybe for devotions this week, go on there and just think on those things, those glorious truths about Jesus. So God has spoken his final word through Jesus Christ. In his birth, life, death, and resurrection and ascension, we find God's word to us, reality. People talk about having their own reality or their own truth. This is the one that all will have to submit to. This is it. This is reality. And John 1, verses 2 through 11, tell us the glorious truth about this word, but also a very sad truth, sad, about his reception by the world. Let me go back to John 1:1 and read those verses. Beginning of verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. And here we come with the sad truths now in these verses, following verses. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. It goes on. And it's such a sad, sad truth about his reception by the world that he created. Now, this section makes the connection with Genesis chapter 1 through 3 very clear. God created mankind in his image with an eternal soul and communion with himself. Mankind sinned and rebelled against God, and mankind died spiritually. Scripture tells us we're born dead in trespasses and sins. And of course, we all die physically. And I'm 78 now, and as I look at my body getting older and older, I'm a physical child of Adam and Eve, even though I'm also eternally alive now through Jesus Christ as the eternal Son of God and my Savior. So we see in verse 10 of John 1 the sad condition of mankind. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Mankind is unable to recognize their Creator when he visited them. It's interesting to note that John is not the only inspired writer of God's word to begin by reminding us of our Creator and our inability to recognize Him. Remember what Paul wrote in Romans 1, and I'll begin at verse 18 there. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. And it goes on there. There are those words, though, those awful, awful words that people don't realize they're there, just three words, but the most horrible words that you could hear. God gave them up. God gave them up, the four words there. And it's very sad. You know, and as we think about those words, those of us who have been born again into Christ, we thank you, Lord, that you didn't give up on me, that you saved me. And it just should make us rejoice in our salvation that much more. So Paul, too, was inspired to take us back to our responsibility to our Creator. But now getting back to John 1, it is even worse than general sinful mankind not recognizing their Creator. John 1:11 tells us more. There we read, He came to His own, and those who were His own did not receive Him. When God became a human being, He chose to be born of the nation of Israel. The Old Testament is a testimony to Him protecting Israel over and over and over. They would rebel, but He had a purpose for them, and He was not going to let them go. And time after time, He shows grace and mercy and love and preserves them, because He has a plan. It's part of His plan that this Messiah is going to be born of the Jews, of Israel. And even Scripture tells us a couple times that the gospel comes to the Jew first and then the Gentile. And so it's so sad. And as we go on, we see, as God promised through His prophets, Jesus is born of a Jewish mother, descendant of David, and He seeks to minister to His own, the Jew first. But the Jews as a nation reject Jesus and insist that Pontius Pilate crucify Him. Yes, as God promised, a remnant of Jews is saved. All the first Christians were Jews. who came to Christ, who saw that he was that promised Messiah. They were given eyes to see and ears to hear. And we see in John 1, 12 and 13, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. And here we see the sovereignty of God in our salvation in verse 13. Who were born not of blood, not because of their blood relationship to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, as the Jews thought, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. There it is. It's made absolutely clear. It's all by God's grace. If you know Christ as Savior and Lord, it's because God has decided to put his grace upon you, to let you see your sin, and he gave you the gift of repentance and faith in Jesus. Praise God. That's why you're here tonight, to worship this wonderful, merciful, gracious God. So up to now, we have seen the beginning. The Word was in the beginning with God, and the Word was God. He is the creator of life. It is the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, who is God the creator. He was the creator of the universe and mankind. But because mankind sinned, the universe was placed under a curse, and mankind was separated from God and was dead spiritually, as well as subject to eventual physical death. But John 1, 12, and 13 speak of a new creation. Some of fallen mankind will be able to become the children of God by God's grace. They will be resurrected and recreated completely by the grace, love, and mercy of God. They will be born again spiritually because God wills it. Unless a person is born again, they cannot enter the kingdom of God. And if you know Christ as Savior and Lord, you've been born again. And who is it that will begin this new creation? Yes, the Word, who was God the creator of the original creation, is also the Word who is God the creator of the new creation. Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, is always in the beginning. So John 1, 1 through 14 speaks of Jesus Christ as being God the creator. He is the God who created the old creation that will be destroyed in judgment, and he is the God who created the new creation that will be everlasting. Praise God. Praise God. If that's your, you see that as your future, as you, as the scripture tells us that we should be eagerly desiring that second coming of Christ, as the bride desires the coming of the bridegroom. And so praise God if you know him. If by God's grace you're already spiritually a part of that new creation, you can praise God for the Word who was made flesh to save you. Now, if there's anyone here, I don't know the spiritual condition of anyone here, or everyone here. If you're still dead in your sins and trespasses, and still a part of that old creation that's under God's curse, God is reaching out to you today. Repent of your sin, trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you will be saved. May God have mercy on you and give you the grace to believe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again we come before your throne rejoicing. Thank you for your Word. Thank you, Lord, as we study it, as we desire to see what you want us to learn. We thank you for teaching us through the Gospel of John. Thank you for inspiring him to write these words. What a blessing they are. Build us up in the faith to remind us that we're sinners saved by grace, not for anything we've done, not of our will or the will of man, but of you. And we pray that having been here, as we think on these things, we will draw closer to you in faith and love and obedience. If anyone came this night not really knowing you as Savior and Lord, have mercy upon them, Lord. Give them the grace to see their sin, to repent, and to truly trust in you, Lord Jesus, as Savior and Lord. We praise you for all the blessings ahead of us. And we do, Lord Jesus, we pray that you would come soon. Even so come, as the last words in Scripture say, even so come, Lord Jesus. And we say that tonight, all of us. And we pray in your precious name. Amen.